I'm Lights, Camera, Jackson. Welcome to a new episode of the LCJ Q&A podcast. Thank you for listening. Hello Ninja, Season 2. It premieres this Friday, April 24th on Netflix. Popular animated series for families. And joining me right now, author, creator, the executive producer of the show, N.D. Wilson. Nate, thanks for being on the show.
Hey, thanks so much for having me.
What a time to be putting out new episodes of an animated show for families. How are you and your family doing right now?
You know, we're doing well. It's really interesting. You know, my oldest kid, I've got a whole pack of kids, my own focus group built in. My oldest is 18 and in his senior year. You know, team captain of his lacrosse team, all these other things that just got canceled, you know, just disappeared. All his college visits, everything else. But then his littlest sibling, and has five kids, is 10 and in the fourth grade. And so now I've got, you know, an 18-year-old doing calculus next to the 10-year-old reading her little middle grade books at the, you know, at the same dining room table. They're all really, you know, they're having fun being with each other, and, you know, just it's a weird kind of family solidarity moment. My 10-year-old is thrilled that her classmates are now her older siblings. And of course, my older siblings are the older siblings a little more restless, but it's been great. It's been great for us as a family to kind of like come together and get through this thing. It's intense, you know, especially in different parts of the country. But it's a wild time.
Yeah,
and it's been good for them. It's been good for them as siblings, even if it's been really hard on the society as a whole.
Right. Right. Well, lots of families can gather around their TVs and their laptops together and watch season two of Hello Ninja. Season one debuted in November. And honestly, how has the response to the show been from your perspective since it debuted in November?
You know, I didn't know what to expect. And I loved the episodes. Such a talented team with Mike Dowding and, you know, directing, and Mark Palmer overseeing the, you know, all the writing. And, you know, running the show. And the animation teams, you know, the lead animators, and the board artists, every step of the way, I was thrilled. But I knew that I was hardly objective. So, you know, I was such a loyal Hello Ninja fan myself that I was so fired up about everything that it was hard for me to know, okay, people who've never seen this, people who are coming to the property cold, how are they going to respond? And the response was overwhelming. I mean, it's one of the most popular preschool shows Netflix has ever had.
Wow.
You know, we had, you know, exterior ratings that people are trying to do, talking about most binged show and other things for that month of November. And it was thrilling. And it's such a blast seeing little kids around the entire world having Hello Ninja birthday parties. You know, that makes me really happy, because you want your best friends at your birthday parties, right?
Yeah.
So seeing, you know, Wesley and Georgie and Pretzel the cat, you know, on the guest list for little kids' birthday parties in every hemisphere, you know, all around this entire planet, was really, really thrilling.
Yeah, that's a cool feeling. Yeah, because I was thinking about it, you know, Hello Ninja is based on a children's book you wrote. It seems like around Halloween time that kids like to dress up as ninjas. It's one of the most popular things you can be. So having them at birthday parties and everything, was that kind of popularity one of the things that really inspired you for the concept of the book?
Yeah, it was. And so the way it happened is I write big fat novels. I write adventure fantasy novels. And my youngest, as I said, now 10, at the time she was 3, and she came over to me with one of my novels and said, "Where are my books? Where are my stories?" And she wanted one for herself. And so we sat down that night, and I was thinking about, you know, different characters that she really likes. She really likes the concept of ninja, I think, as every little kid does. And so we wrote together that night, sat down and worked on Hello Ninja. And the bones of what I wrote that night became a board book that I self-published for her. And I self-published it just to go faster, because I could have gone to New York, but it would have taken 2 years, and she would have been 5 and then 6. And, you know, it just goes really quickly. So I self-published the board book, and she was thrilled. She was happy. She had it as a story. And then Starbucks picked it as a pick of the week and gave away the iBook nationwide, and gave away hundreds of thousands of copies of the iBook.
Huh.
And then Target picked up the physical book and everything just started snowballing. Hello Ninja was, it just was such a sticky property, and it started snowballing way past what I could handle. So I sold it to HarperCollins, and then did a new book, an expanded picture book, which they released this last fall. And of course, the show went into development at Netflix, and then production. Partnered up with Atomic Cartoons, and the whole process has just been a roller coaster of awesomeness. Is really all I can say. It's been fantastic.
You know, it's interesting because Garth Stein was here on the LCJ Q&A last summer talking about The Art of Racing in the Rain when the movie was coming out, and he had talked about how that book was chosen by Starbucks as a selection for their program, and then his sort of experience coming into the movie world with that film coming out, he was sort of cautious, he was nervous about this experience, but for you jumping in as sort of this novelist-turned-filmmaker-producer, as you write on Twitter, I mean, how was that experience getting into the TV world, and was it sort of what you thought it was going to be?
You know, it was, I was such a rookie. There were a lot of things to learn. But I had, in 2007, I published my first novel with Random House, and I could write faster than the industry would publish. And so as a novelist, as a storyteller, more than a novelist, I should say, I just love stories, and I love telling stories. My then agent and now production partner on Hello Ninja set me up with a story consultancy at DreamWorks Animation because I wanted to taste this world and kind of know how it worked and learn how it operated.
Mm.
And so that, you know, I got in that door and just kind of began to see and learn and observe the media side, you know, the left coast as opposed to, you know, New York publishing. And so I'd been there and around there and sold some things and did some writing and little taste in between novels. So it's like I'd write a novel, and then I'd be off for a few months, and so I would go do stuff in L.A. And so that was, you know, kind of toes in the water. And then the industry changed. The industry changed rapidly, and I got to be there for it. You know, it's like I got to be in the front row and then actually step out into this new world of streaming, and, you know, when production really just really went through the roof in terms of the number of shows getting made and hitting the air, because there's no longer this, you know, the old cable model is gone, and Netflix demand and consumer demand had changed fundamentally. So I knew enough, you know, I'd been around the edges, and I knew enough to not be totally a total rookie coming in on this, but it was definitely a learning experience and was exciting. I didn't really have any trepidation at all. I wasn't really nervous because I was familiar enough with the process and with everything else around it, and because the team was so solid. You know, I'd met the people at Atomic Cartoons, met Mark Palmer as the showrunner, Mike Gutting as the director, and thought this is going to be fantastic. Really appreciated the execs at Netflix. So I was really ready. I was ready to do it. And while I learned a lot, I also was a little bit surprised at how comfortable it felt. And how natural it felt, and how much I was thinking immediately, I need to do this again, often.
Because, yeah, I mean, in watching some of the episodes from season one, I like the fact that the show is consistently upbeat and positive with Wesley and Georgie and Pretzel the Cat working together. I like the energy that the show has. So you say the experience was really comfortable for you. Did it take an episode or two to kind of get the tone down, or did it just seem right away that this tone and this feel of this show just felt right?
You know, we worked with Atomic a lot in pre-production, setting the tone. And bringing in Forrest Dickerson, the artist that I did the book with, and helping him establish, you know, he helped establish the artistic tone and the feel of the show. So we spent enough time talking with the artists at Atomic and talking with the other producers and the execs to make sure we were getting off on the right foot, make sure we were setting the right tone, the tone I wanted of that upbeat, wishful fulfillment. And I was really confident. By the time we were going into story, by the time we were moving towards episode one, it was all comfortable. You know, it was not, there was no distress, there's no disruption through it. I mean, there were times when the workload was intense and there was a lot, you know, when we were at the peak of production. But it never felt like, okay, the show has gone off the rails, or the show now has the wrong tone. We did so much work in advance, making sure that everybody understood what the bullseye was. that didn't really have to be recalibrated or corrected throughout. Everybody was just on target and in unison and chasing the same goal. And that goal had kind of been tonally as a comp in the pitch at Netflix. When we first were in with Netflix pitching, I boiled it down and said, you know, think of those Sunday cartoons. Think of the big colorful Sunday Calvin and Hobbes comic strips. You know, the big wish fulfillment Calvin and Hobbes comic strips. I want to chase that, but without the cynical downbeat at the end. You know, the punchline in Calvin was always the cynicism.
Right.
You know, there'd be some cynical irony at the end. I just want to stay there. I want to stay in joy and wish fulfillment, and I want these episodes to be joyful and to be upbeat and to never crash. Like,
yeah.
That's what we're doing. We're going to push imagination and wonderment, and that's what we're doing for kids. That's what we're here for. And that was something that everybody bought in, from Netflix all the way down to the board artists. Everybody bought into that. And I think that tone of, you know, Spaceman Spiff, that tone of pure imagination that is just fantastical and satisfying is something that I think every episode hits.
I completely agree with you, and also because these episodes are so fun, and especially for kids to really get into it, and with the sound effects. I mean, I noticed in these episodes there's, you know, there's movement and swishes and boings from a bunny and falling. You know, is the sound work a key component for you guys in attacking these episodes?
Mike Dowding, the director, did such a great job of, like, integrating so many different elements, but we wanted to have a bit of a Looney Tunes Saturday morning cartoons vibe, you know, like where we could tap into that, you know, that feel, and the sound was a huge part of that. But so is just the kinetic nature of the characters. You know, they're so bouncy, right? These ninjas are so bouncy, and they're so bouncy in that classic way, in that classic Looney Tunes way. But that's what ninjas are. You know, these ninjas are amazing and super super bouncy. And then the directing was so dynamic. And the fact that Mike brought in so much camera work and awesome framing and camera moves, you know, to this, you know, bridge show, to this show that, you know, we're talking 7-year-olds and down are watching. Why would we have to be that sophisticated for these kids? It's like, well, we want to have fun. We want the show to be joyful. We want every episode to be joyful and to be thrilling. And Mike did such a great job doing that. So from the sound to the camera moves, to just the kinetic bounciness of the characters and the actual character animation, every single piece contributed to that goal, that goal of explosive joy.
Yeah, N.D. Wilson, my guest right now in the LCJ Q&A. And when you watch the teaser trailer for Season 2 of Hello Ninja, which comes out this Friday on Netflix, it seems like the scale is even bigger and the adventures are even bigger. You've got Western and pirate genres. Give us a preview of those and a preview of Season 2 here.
From the beginning, we knew we wanted this to be a traveling show. You know, this was not going to be a show. And I think Matt Berkowitz at Atomic said this often. We wanted to be an unapologetically traveling show. New big sets. We're going to do big builds that are going to get used in one or two episodes, and then we're going to do other big builds. Like, we're going to not just be trying to set stories in the exact same set over and over and over again, because that's what kids don't do that. You know, that's not where kids go with their imagination. They go in new and awesome directions, bigger and bigger directions. The other thing that kids do that we really wanted to tap into was the layer of imagination. You know, it's like, we're playing ninjas, and now we're cowboys. You know, it's like, we're ninja cowboys. We are ninjas in a pirate story. There's all sorts of awesome things we can do, because we're talking about imagination, the power of imagination, and wish fulfillment. So the kind of things that we're doing with these characters is, of course, it's going to layer and stack. Of course, there's going to be a ninja with a cowboy hat on top of his ninja costume, riding a tornado like Pecos Bill, you know, in this Western excitement. Of course, we're going to do those things. Of course, there's going to be a wizard. Why wouldn't there be a wizard? Like, because kids at play will absolutely incorporate. This goes way back, you know, to my own kids. When my older kids were little, I would do stories with them every night. And so they would all be sitting around ready to go to bed, and they would each get to pick a character. And I would let them each pick a character, and then I would tell them a story with all those characters. And I was sitting here watching my daughter very imaginative little girl, and she would say things like, I want a butterfly unicorn ballerina princess. That's my character. And I would be like, okay, perfect. And then my son would say, I want a giant creeping land squid that only eats butterfly unicorn ballerina princess. And, you know, so they have this sibling thing going on, but they would layer stuff. And layer stuff so naturally and instinctively of their imagination that ninjas playing cowboy, ninjas facing off with a pirate, ninjas facing off with a wizard is totally natural to them. Totally natural, playful, fun, and exciting. And the second season really goes after that, you know, really builds on the first season and goes after this layering and expansive, bigger sets, bigger genre moves, you know, hat tips to kung fu movies and westerns, and really, really imaginative layering that I think that fans are going to just be blown away by, and I'm extremely excited to watch with my own kids. They've seen it in process, you know, they saw some earlier versions, and I'm really excited to sit down and just watch season two with them and binge the whole thing while we're in quarantine like everybody else.
All of what you've been saying is so smart when it comes to kind of getting inside the minds of kids and then presenting that on screen. Did one of your own kids come up with the Frosty Freezer Land? And it looks like there's some giant pizza involved with that.
You know, I think I have to give the hat tip on that one to Mark Palmer and the writers. Let's just say one of my own kids could have, but they didn't need to. The writers got there first.
All right. Well, that sounds like a lot of fun, and I'm so happy for the success for you. And could we see more books maybe in this series down the line to kind of go along with maybe some of the TV episodes, kind of a back and forth a little bit?
Yeah. So the Hello Ninja book, the original board book, there's going to be a board book re-release. Mm-hmm. There's been a new picture book, a new expanded picture book that released in the fall. There's a follow-up to that called Hello Ninja, Hello Georgie that's going to release this year that I love. And then we're also, HarperCollins is also going to be releasing some I Can Read books, some
good.
Hello Ninja I Can Read for, you know, those early readers who want to start turning pages and learning how to work through prose. So I've got to turn in some manuscripts on those this month. And absolutely, the book world is going to be building out. But then the next one to release will be Hello Ninja, Hello Georgie. I'm really excited to get that one into the hands of fans because they've been voracious. They've been voracious and thrilled. And so, I mean, just so much joy around the whole thing and the whole experience that I wonder, why did I write novels? Like, no, I love writing novels and long-form story. And I've got shows in development, you know, around some of my novel properties that I'm loving and thrilled by. But it kind of cracks me up that this explosive success was around this relatively short writing process that I just did at the table with my 3-year-old. And it's gone this far around the world now.
I love those I Can Read books. You know, I read some when I was younger, and I've got family members who have little ones who will enjoy those, and I think millions of families all across the country and the globe, they love that series and love these characters and love watching this show, Hello Ninja, Season 2, this Friday, April 24th on Netflix. Congrats on your success. Thank you for being on the LCJ Q&A today, Nate. I appreciate it.
Hey, thank you.
I'm Lights Camera Jackson. For more, go to lights-camera-jackson.com, Twitter at LCJ Reviews, and Instagram at LightsCamJackson. See you next time on the LCJ Q&A podcast.